And then we're going to be going over into the book of Proverbs. And I didn't mention during the announcements that next Sunday is Thanksgiving weekend, of course. And as it is a long weekend, we will be having only the morning service. So next weekend is morning service only. And our history with Thanksgiving weekend is quite often many of you have Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday. And so our Sunday evening crowd is very small. But the other thing is that many who come on Sunday night also have Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday and are feeling the effects of all the tryptophan from the turkey. And so we're going to give you the opportunity to be with your families. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6. This is part of the theme for our series. And I'm ringing up here. I don't know if my monitor is loud or what's going on, but there we go. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6. And let's read it together. This is our theme for the series. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then in verse number 10, who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now notice the first part of that verse. For who hath despised the day of small things? And then Proverbs 23 and verse 7 is our text for this morning. Proverbs chapter 23 verse number 7. And the teens are staying up with us this morning. It's the last Sunday of the month, so welcome to them. Good to have all of you in service with us here this morning. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And this morning I'm going to be speaking about small things that change your life. And that's our series title, and I'm going to be speaking about our thoughts, the way that we think, and the impact that they have on our lives. So let's pray, and we'll get into it. Father, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you, Lord, for what you've already done, and Lord, I believe you've already spoken into some hearts already this morning. I pray that you will enable me to speak your word, and Lord, that you'll take it by your spirit and speak it directly into our hearts, not just into our ears or minds, but Lord, to the core of our being. Let it challenge us and let it speak to us now. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And you may be seated. Last week, as we got started on our series about small things that make a big difference or that change your life, we're looking at about how things that sometimes seem insignificant are life-changing. The small decisions that we made can change our lives. And our big idea for this series, and I was thinking about this week, and it's the big idea again this morning, is that it's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. So keep that in mind. If you haven't written that down from last week, it's often the small things nobody sees that result in the big things everyone wants. And today, we're looking at our thoughts. Martin Luther made a statement many, many years ago, centuries ago now. And he was speaking about thoughts and about problems with thoughts. And he said that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. I'm not even going to take a poll this morning because I know the answer already. All of us have had times when everything is going well, and then you've had a thought come through your mind, and you're like, where did that come from? It may be something going back many years. It may be something that you haven't thought about in a very long time, and something that is way in the past, but then it flies through your mind. Those things happen. It's what we choose to do with that thought that makes the difference. And we all have a choice about how we will respond or how we will direct our thought life. You see, our thoughts matter so much because our thoughts influence our words, which influence our actions, which influence our habits, which in the end up creating a destiny because it begins with a thought. Here's a key statement for this morning, that your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. The writer of Proverbs said in the King James that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That what is going on behind the facade, what is going on behind the smile as you came in this morning, that as we think in our hearts, say, well, I know people that I know what they think, but that's not how they act. Sooner or later, it'll all come out. As he thinketh in his heart. In other words, we see this in the natural as well as in the spiritual. If you think you can't, you probably can't. If you think nobody likes you, you're going to go through life with an attitude that says, nobody likes me. And consequently, you will act in a way that will sometimes make people so they really won't like you. If you think you don't have anything to offer, you won't try. You probably won't make a difference. On the other hand, if you think you can, you probably will. If you believe that there are opportunities out there that you can take advantage of, if you believe that God is with you and for you, it will change the way that you live your life. Because our thoughts direct our actions and determine our attitudes. As he thinketh in his heart. When you believe that God is with you and for you, you'll sense God's power and presence because our thoughts matter. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. I want you just to take a moment. Think about, what are your thought patterns? Are they predominantly negative or are they predominantly positive? Do you approach life with a God and I can, or do you approach life with I can't? How do you approach life? I want you to think about that just for a moment. Because our thoughts determine what we become. You know, you'd almost have to be living on another planet in the last few years to miss the news reports about the Ebola virus. And it's nasty. Nurses get infected by contact with someone who's been sick, and the virus is quite invasive. And it's dangerous. They say that the average person with Ebola affects 1.5. Now, I don't know how they get, I guess it's average. 1.5 other people. But did you know that somebody with the mumps, the statistic is they will infect 30? One of the greatest barriers to spiritual life, one of the most invasive things that there is the pattern of our thoughts and attitudes and the ability that they have to infect those that are around us. I want you to just take a moment again. I want you to think about one person, we'll do the negative first, one person who you don't have to be around them very long before you feel like everything is just not good. Okay? One person. I saw a lot of smiles there because it didn't take you long. One person. You know, they've never found a parade they won't rain on. They're just, you know, if you say it's sunny, it's too sunny. If you say that it's cool, it's not hot enough. If it's hot, it's too hot. There's always something. Now, on the other hand, I want you to think of one person that when you are around them, their attitude and their everything about them just makes you feel like life is good, things are better. Now, it's not necessarily because one is smarter than the other, higher IQ than the other, but it's because as a man or a woman thinks in his heart, so is he. And the way that we think and the attitude that we generate from our thoughts is catching. It's catching. And sometimes we get stuck in our negative, untrue, impure thoughts. You know, the root of sin that we commit outwardly, that everybody sees, are the false beliefs that we embrace inwardly. Here's something really important to realize. You can't overcome a sin that you can't identify. That takes self-honesty. That takes courage. That takes being willing to look at ourselves in the same way that we'll look at everybody else. You know, you ever hear the expression, faults in others I can see, but praise the Lord, no faults in me? To be able to look at ourselves honestly, to be able to look at the way that we think. You see, words and actions are symptoms. An old expression is that what's down in the well is going to come up in the bucket. That what's in the heart eventually comes out. Do you ever meet somebody, maybe some of you are here today or like this, that has the spiritual gift of negativity? You know, there really is no spiritual gift of negativity. I met some people that thought they had the spiritual gift of criticism. You know, never can see what's right, always can see what's wrong. Easily critical of people, always assume the worst. Never assume the best. Always looking for the next thing to make you happy, because nothing that you have is ever good enough. Paul said, I have learned how to be content. I've had a lot and I've had a little. I've had good times and I've had bad times, but I've learned how to be content. Because the secret to contentment is not in the things that I have or the things that are around me. The secret of contentment is in the condition of my heart. The condition of my heart as he thinketh in his heart. You know, you may be here and you're more on the positive side. And you believe the best about people. And when you have a difficult day, you still believe that God is good. You still believe that he loves you, that he's for you, that he's going to work in things to bring it about for your good. And the challenge for all of us is to bring God's truth into our thoughts and into our thought patterns. To allow God to touch the way that we think. See, Christianity, and this is the difference between Christianity and some other religions and even the Old Testament, is that Christianity and faith is not simply about behavior modification. It's not simply to tell you change your behavior. Jesus did not come to tell you to change your behavior. Jesus came to change your heart. And when Jesus changes your heart, your behavior will change, because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so sometimes we think, well, I just need to change all my behaviors, and that's what God wants. Well, you know what? There are a lot of behaviors that God will change in our lives, but it begins with our hearts. You see, if you try to do all good things, but you've never had a change of heart, there's going to come a point where your heart is going to say, I'm just not doing that anymore. Because the Bible says your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Jesus came to change our heart, to change that internal part of us that makes us who we are. He didn't come just to tell you not to steal. He came to change your heart so you won't want to steal. He didn't come and just simply say, don't lie. He came to change your heart so that you'll be honest and have virtue, and you won't want to lie. He came to change our hearts. Here's reality when it comes to our thoughts. You know, if you spend your time filling your mind with lustful images, don't be surprised when you struggle with lust. Whether it's movies or television shows or websites, don't be surprised if you struggle with lust if that's what you feed your mind. If you fill your life by bringing people who mock God and belittle righteousness into your life, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you begin to struggle with sinful thoughts and desires. Because the influences that we bring into our lives affect the way that we think. I want you to think about this, and I'm going to hit this a little bit later on, but I want you to think about it. Think about what music does to your life, to your thoughts. I know I mentioned this last week, but let me mention it again. There are types of music that will cause you to become angry. Anybody who has a child, you know, there are types of music that just, it's like, you know, they take the headphones off and it's like, where did you come from? Like, what happened? Music affects, can make you angry. The things that we feed into our minds, and not only music, but our choices of entertainment, affect the way that we think. Any of you who have children and they hang out, we talk about hanging out with the wrong crowd. You know that nice, sweet child you had? All of a sudden they come home and you know who they were hanging out with just by the way, just by the attitude and the way that they're talking. Because what we allow into our hearts affects the way that we think. And if you fill your heart with greed, and there's so many things around today that feed into greed. You know, every bit of advertising provokes you to think that what you have isn't good enough. Otherwise, you wouldn't buy whatever they're advertising. We get caught in the mentality that I've got to keep up with somebody else that I know. It may be a neighbor, it may be somebody in the church, and I've got to keep up with them. And so we go in debt. They may have saved up for years to buy what they bought, and we think we've got to just go buy it, put it on credit card, because somebody else has it. Greed. What we feed into our minds affects how we think. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And the Apostle Paul was inspired by God to write these words. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, and this is New Living, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Now, when he speaks of bodies here, he does mean physical bodies. Because the Bible teaches us to honor God in everything that we are. Not just to honor God when we come to church on Sunday, but to honor God with everything that we are. So he said, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Now, the thing about a sacrifice that people don't like today is that a sacrifice always costs you something. You know, David went to offer a sacrifice before the Lord. And one of the men who was with him said, David, I will give you the cattle, I'll give you the wood, I'll give you everything that you need to offer a sacrifice. And David responded and said, I can't do this. And I'm paraphrasing now. He said, I can't do this, for how can I offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing? He said, it's not a sacrifice if you give it to me and I just pass it along. And so here he says that you offer your life. One of the other translations says that you give God your everyday walking around, living, breathing, everyday life. And you offer it as a sacrifice to God to say, God, I want who I am and what I am to be pleasing in your sight today. That's what I want. That's a living sacrifice. And don't be surprised if you do that, if God doesn't come along and say, hey, you know what? Will you give this up for me? Will you be willing to walk away from this for me to glorify my name? That's what a sacrifice is. And then he goes on, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Wow, is that ever good advice today? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. The other thing that's interesting is that culture goes in cycles. Do you ever notice that? And we've seen it over the last few months. And culture and values will shift and they'll kind of go in cycles that repeat themselves. He said, Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. In other words, stand on the word of God. Live by biblical guidelines for behavior and action. But notice this. But let God transform you into a new person. And notice how he does this. By changing the way you think. By changing the way that you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. He said, when you allow God to change your thought patterns, when you allow the Holy Spirit to change the way that you are looking at life around you, when you allow Him to change your thoughts, then you will begin to see the will of God or the purpose of God within your life going forward. So God wants to do more than simply give you a list. God wants to change your heart. He wants to change what you want to do so that instead of wanting to do simply what the flesh wants to do or what culture demands to do, that your life goal becomes, I want to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Not only by what I do or by how I look or how I act, but by the way that I think. Think. The way that I think. So what do we have to do? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says this. Again, this is New International Version. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now notice verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So he's telling them we've got supernatural weapons that are available. The Greek word there that's translated as power is dunamis. We get our word dynamite from. It speaks of the explosive power of God to be able to demolish or do away with strongholds. Now, the strongholds that he's speaking of are not physical fortresses. They are more easily described as patterns of thinking that have been ingrained over time. So he said that God is able to break down strongholds. And it's interesting, the word used for strongholds there literally means a prisoner locked up by deception. It's when you're locked up by false thoughts or wrong thoughts. Strongholds. I want you to think about this. What is Satan's greatest tactic or greatest weapon in your life? Satan is called the father of lies. And what he tries to do is to convince us of things that are not true in our thought processes, so we build our lives on a lie rather than on truth. Because when you know the truth, Jesus said, the truth will make you free. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians, he said, and we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. He says, we destroy these things. That means there's some action, there's some things you have to do. You know, one of those things, let me put a little plug in here, one of those things is getting into the Word. It's getting into the Word, the pure Word of God. Whether you read it in the King James, the New International, the New Living, whatever it is, get the Word of God in your heart. Because the Word has power within itself as you take it into your life. The Word is like a medication that you take that begins to build strength where there was no strength. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. He didn't say some preacher that you like. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, I got into the Word. And I'm here to, I know I challenged you last week on this. Let me reissue that challenge again today. I'm going to be nothing except relentless. That if you're not reading the Word, start out with a chapter. Start out with in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, one of those. Start out, read a chapter, think about what you've read. As you do that, the Word begins to work within your life. You see, the Bible teaches us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That as you get the Word in your heart, that the Word begins to build up your faith. Because I know what God says. You know what? The Word in your heart will take you through tough times. See, how do you know that? I found it in my life. I really have. There have been times that I've prayed the Word. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That means whose mind is hooked on you. And you know, some people get hooked on all kinds of things in life. We need to get hooked on Jesus, to get hooked on his Word. thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. If you get your mind hooked on the Word, if you get your faith put in Jesus. Yeah. You know, there are verses that I've found, and this is where you get the Word in your heart, that I have found in times when I didn't know what was going on. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet. Lord, I don't know what's going on around here, but Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my pathway. And if I learn to trust, when I learn to trust, and I understand, you know, we quote that scripture, and it's a tough one to live, but that He works all things together for good. When I get that in my heart and mind, and sometimes you know you have to repeat it. Sometimes you have to write it down on a piece of paper and put it somewhere where you're going to see it. And you remind yourself that whatever I am going through, God has this. God has this. I'm going to come out on the other side. God has this. You know, the Bible, I know this isn't, I need to move on, but, you know, he teaches us that He will perfect that. That means bring to maturity that which concerneth me. It may be you're here today and you think that you're nothing and nobody. Do you know that God promises to make you the head and not the tail? He also said in the Old Testament, and He was speaking to Israel, but it relates to us, that I know the plans that I have for you. And He talks about plans to prosper and to give a hope. There's something about the Word when you get your mind stayed on it. See, he tells us we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, maybe it doesn't work the same in your life or hasn't, but sometimes this is what I have to do. And you know, when you couple prayer and the Word together, you've got powerful force within your life. And there are some times, you know, we all have times when we get down. It's part of the human condition. We have times when we get down. You're just not feeling up there. Now you're saying, I don't think that really happens. Can I get a witness? Anybody who ever feels down from time to time? I'm not talking about, you know, clinically depressed. I'm talking about just down. We all have those times. But it's in those times that I have a choice to make. I can choose to stay down. I can choose to live in worry and anxiety. Or I can choose to praise God in the middle of my problem. I can choose to take that negativity captive to what God says about my life. That's what he talks about. Taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. But notice there, he's speaking about you. He's saying there's something that you have to do. God gives you the means. You've got to take what God gives you and use it. You know, one of the most powerful things that you can do when you go to the Lord in prayer, and I know we talk a lot about the baptism of the Spirit. It's because it's a biblical experience. But one of the most powerful expressions of that experience is when you go to God in prayer. And the Bible teaches us that if you pray in the Spirit, that your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. In other words, that when you pray in another language, in unknown tongues, that you do not know what you are praying, but the Bible says that your spirit prays, and that God's Spirit prays through you according to the will of God. And there is something about exercising that prayer language as you pray that you may not understand. Now, when the Bible teaches us that when we come together, Paul said, I'd rather speak one or two words in a known language than 10,000 in an unknown language. Because you can imagine if all we did was come and speak in tongues the whole service, and you'd walk out of here going, wow. You know, somebody really got blessed, but I didn't get anything. And so he said, in the public service, that's why I'm standing here speaking to you in English, although at times I'm sure, you know, sometimes I'm incomprehensible. It's not because I'm trying, it's just the way it is. But there's something about when you begin to pray in the Spirit and you move from that natural prayer where you're making requests and you're telling God what you need, but you begin to move into that realm of the Spirit. And moving into the realm of the Spirit doesn't mean moving into the realm of the spooky. It means moving into the realm of what God wants to do within your life. And when you begin to make that shift from flesh to Spirit, now stay with me. When you begin to make that shift, and those of you who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, that speaking in tongues is not only the initial evidence, but it's an ongoing prayer language as you communicate with God in prayer. And the more that you exercise that gifting and that prayer language, here's what you'll discover. You may not understand what you just prayed, but you feel the impact in your spirit and in your thought patterns. See, I'll tell you what happens sometimes, is that sometimes God has to move beyond our mule-headed stubbornness. I said it. You know, when we're praying in knowledge, we're praying, dear God, get them. Dear God, do this. Dear God, do that. And God's saying, I don't want to do that. That's not good. And I believe that there are times that you started out prayer like that and you finally move into praying in the Spirit and your prayer goes just the opposite in the Spirit. Because in the Spirit, you pray according to the will of God. So there is something so powerful about that. I've got to close this. So let me come to our next point. When we fix our thoughts on spiritual things, let me tell you something that happened to me just this week. Of course, if you have, you know, you'd have to be living on another planet not to have heard about what's going on in the U.S., so confirming the judge and all that. And whatever position you take on that, that's I'm not here to, I don't know. So, but here's what I found. I found that all the relentless news reports and everything was bothering me. Now, I was getting a little bit angry. Anybody here, you know what I'm talking about? Like, just a little bit angry, like, just. And I realized, like, this is making me angry. And I'm not even American. Like, I'm not American. It's not the Supreme Court of Canada, and I know it all affects us and all that, but it's not me. And you're just relentlessly bombarded. Let me take you to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is a powerful passage that will change your life. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. He's closing up his letter to them. Notice this word again. Fix. Fix. He didn't say God will fix. He said fix. That means you. Fix your thoughts on what is true, on what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. And then he said, here's something about it. And then the God of peace. Then the God of peace will be with you. know, sometimes we read that and it's like we're saying, fix your thoughts on what's bad. But for some of us, the best thing we could do is just not watch the news anymore. I'm not telling you to do that, but maybe that's the best thing. Maybe it means that if I'm going to fix my thought on things that are like this, then I've got to change who I hang around with. Or I've got to change what I watch or what I listen to. So we capture the lies. We focus our thoughts on what is true. We focus our thoughts on spiritual things. And we begin to determine, I'm not just going to be. I'm not going to live my life just letting the media back up and dump garbage in my life. I'm not going to hang around with people that are just going to dump garbage in my life. No. I'm not going to make my choice of entertainment that which is just causing problems in my life. But instead, I'm going to fix my thoughts. I'm not saying that's always easy. I am saying it's always worthwhile. And I want to close with this thought. That you don't do it alone. Our key verses for this morning is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm just going to think happy thoughts. And I mean, that's a good thing, but that's a really tough thing. But it's when our prayer becomes, God, let your Spirit so work in me this week. Help me, Lord, by your Spirit to think about you first of all. That I'll think about things that are godly, not things that are evil. That I'll look for the good and not for the bad. See, God doesn't tell us to do something without giving us the power to do it. As we stand together this morning, changing the way we think. My challenge to all of us here today, as we go into our prayer time, is to invite God. To say, God, change. If there are things or patterns of thinking that I've been stuck in, you know, sometimes they're patterns that we've learned from our families and our backgrounds. I've heard people say, well, that's just the way my family is. Do you know the beautiful thing about the gospel is that Jesus breaks every chain. Every chain. There are patterns of behavior from my family that I had to break free of. I had to say, I'm just not going to be like that. You may be here today, and with God's help, that's where you're at. It may be that you're here today and you say, Pastor, I haven't experienced what you're talking about with praying in the Spirit. I haven't experienced the baptism of the Spirit. But I want to. I want what God has for me today. I believe that this morning, if you'll open your heart to God, God can baptize you with His Spirit. If you're here today and it's been a long time since you've allowed the Spirit of God to flow through your life, I believe that God is here today to renew and restore you and to cause you to walk out of here